Hello everyone, new player, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. Today I speak with Dr. Siddhant Bhargava, co-founder and nutritionist at Foodarzi. Foodarzi is a health and nutrition company offering fresh, healthy food delivered daily to your doorstep, and they're growing really fast. So in this exciting episode, he talks about his roller coaster startup journey so far, overcoming challenges, shares great advice for first-time founders, he talks about why obesity is a growing problem in India, and he talks about working with Bollywood celebrities, he shares practical diet changes for a fit body, losing weight, nutrition advice, and being body positive, and finally his love of butter chicken, and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Siddhant. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Please tell the listeners what you do.
So I am a doctor by profession, but I don't practice as a medical practitioner anymore. I have switched to full-time nutrition, and I have a startup called Foodarzi, which is basically getting you to your health goal by giving you the nutritional advice and actually providing the food to you. So what I've done is I've replaced conventional dietitians, conventional nutritionists, got them all under one roof. And whatever is the diet or whatever is the protocol that they've decided for an individual, my kitchen actually supplies that food to that individual. So it's like an end-to-end solution. You come to me with a health problem and I give you an entire solution, right from holding your hand to counseling you to providing you with the necessary food for it. So this is what I do now.
Excellent. Sounds fun. How did you come up with the idea? What was the light bulb moment for you?
It was about 2.5-3 years ago. I basically was studying in med school, wasn't really enjoying what I was doing. I thought it was a little monotonous. And I sort of was an individual who went to the gym a lot. Like every 20-year-old boy, I went to the gym a lot. And I thought, like nobody's helping me sort my nutrition out. I mean, even if somebody gives me a diet, it's so difficult to do that at home. So that's what my light bulb moment was, that in a city like Bombay, in a country like India, where there are so many professionals, there are so many individuals who are looking to get their food, but just no way to actually source it, cook it, explain to your cook how to do it. That's when this light bulb moment came, that why not I become an authority on nutrition, tell them what's right for them, and actually provide every single bit of food to them. So even now, all of my clients find it so simple. It's almost like I've outsourced the stress for them, because all of it is mine now. The only thing they need to tell me is what their health goal is, and then I do the rest.
Mm-hmm. Great. And how are things going? Can you share some stats?
So things are going pretty well. It's been 2 years today, in fact, that this company commenced operations.
Happy anniversary for you then.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So it's been 2 years. The company has a staff strength of about 250. We're present in 3 cities in India, which is Mumbai, Delhi, and Pune. We turn over around about 25-30 crores a year. And I am valuated around 100 crores is my current valuation. So 100 crore Indian rupees. So that's about $10 million, I think. $10-12 million is what I'm valuated at.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yep. So that's been the journey in these past 2 years.
Is that what you expected when you first started?
Not at all. I mean, I always thought that the market for such a product is very niche, but it turns out that a lot of people actually have very similar problems. They just find it difficult staying healthy. And even if they want to stay healthy, it becomes so difficult to organize everything around it that they find this as a very quick, easy, and of course, a very scientific solution.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the start then. What were the first couple of months like then?
The first couple of months were extremely difficult because I had to get my base set. I had to make sure that every shred of information, every macronutrient, every recipe is completely on point, because the way we work is that every single individual actually gets a personalized diet and a personalized meal, which means that every single person has to have food which is weighed out separately, cooked separately. So getting these recipes sorted, getting it in a structure where every individual can actually get something personal was the difficult part. The second difficult part was that I was a doctor who had no idea about food, kitchens, hospitality. So moving from an outsourced kitchen to getting multiple kitchens of my own, that is what was very difficult initially. The setup was difficult. And now, of course, the challenges differ. Like, the challenges have completely become different now. But yes, this getting the setup, getting the groundwork was the most difficult bit.
The website now, it's a keto-based diet, is that correct?
So we started off with a ketogenic diet. That was primary because as a doctor, as a consultant, so I have become one of the foremost authorities on keto in India. Mm-hmm. So my company does.
Yeah, so just explain to our listeners who may not know, what is keto?
Okay, yeah. So what keto is, it's a system where we teach your body how to burn fat all the time. Like, imagine you're put in a state where the primary source of fuel for your body is now fat, which therefore becomes the quickest way to lose body fat because your body is like a fat burning machine. And the kind of ingredients you use, the kind of planning, the meal timing, all of that defines whether you're in ketosis or you're not in ketosis. So this really caught up, like, around the world, the trend of a ketogenic diet really caught up, and it hit India too. And being a doctor, it added so much credibility because people were so scared about keto because it's completely different to what Indians follow. Like, bear in mind, India is primarily a vegetarian country, which means the concept of meat doesn't exist that much. Mm. So to actually show them that meat and fat is something that's going to get your body in the shape quicker than what you've been doing for all of these years was the challenge. So now, of course, my company does not fixate on keto anymore because I do understand that keto could be a fad. I personally believe in keto. I think it's here to stay. But there is still some resistance in people's minds about keto, which means I don't specifically use the word keto, but a lot of my clients are still on the ketogenic diet. So it's still a mix between various diets. But at the end of the day, they're on my plan. I decide what I get to do with their diets. And they need to give their yes or no whether they want to comply with the current diet that I'm giving them on. Like, it's possible that for a month they could be on keto. For the next month, they could just be on a low-carb diet. For the third month, they could be on paleo. And so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. So let's talk about food then. Let's say I sign up today. What food will I get then?
Okay. Yeah. So if I have to be honest, the food could be as simple as grilled chicken with vegetables, or it could be a butter chicken. It could be a shawarma. It could be a pizza. It could be a burger. It could be every single dessert under the roof. But bear in mind that each of these dishes are going to be tailored exactly as per your requirements. So if you were to come to me and your friend was to come to me and both of y'all actually got the same pizza, the cheese on the pizza, the wheat in the pizza, the flour in the pizza, the vegetables, the sauce, every single ingredient would actually be weighed out separately for the both of y'all. And that's where my company's forte is, giving you personalized nutrition.
Mm-hmm. So do I just jump in then, or do I need to see a doctor first?
So what happens is that if you're getting onto keto, of course, I will advise a certain number of medical tests that need to be done. Once you've done them, you submit them to me. My team of doctors is going to review all of that. If you're fit for the diet, you move ahead. If you're not fit, we maybe figure out a different diet that you can go on to. So yes, getting your medicals done is essential. And post that, of course, we keep getting routine examinations done.
Mm-hmm. And things like vitamins and minerals and proteins, exactly. And stuff like
vitamins, minerals, yeah. Proteins, your cholesterol levels, your sugar levels, things like that.
How does this affect relationships then? You know, my mum makes me regular food, and then I say to her, look, I'm going to join this company now to get my food from. Would that affect the relationship, do you think?
I wouldn't say it affects it badly. What just happens is that at times the mum does feel a little bad that, my son's not eating my food. But what happens is that in the longer run, she actually does tend to realize that there are certain limitations that cooking at home has. And those limitations aren't present with calling food from outside. But here's the trick. In India, it's always been a taboo that, you know, your mom will always tell you, don't eat fruit from outside every day. So breaking that taboo that, you know, eating food from outside can still be extremely healthy is what we try to overcome on an everyday basis. So there have been so many situations where one of my nutritionists, one of my dietitians, actually have to counsel the mother of a child, telling her that, you know, it's absolutely all right. We're going to keep your son safe. The food is safe. So yeah, it does pose a challenge sometimes, but people are getting around to it.
Mm-hmm. Great. It must be difficult. I mean, dieting has been going on for years and years and years, and people break diets. Most diets fail. What is it about your diet plan that's going to work?
Now, that's exactly the point. Because my food is non-monotonous, because the food is tasty, because the food is multi-cuisine, and you never, ever feel like you're on a diet. That's the specialty of my brand. Imagine you're eating a butter chicken for lunch. You're eating a pizza, like a mini pizza for your snack, along with a tiramisu. And your dinner is actually green Thai curry with cauliflower rice. Now, when you give people such tasty food that they actually look forward to their next meal, they don't really feel that they're dieting. And that's why my clients succeed.
Is it affordable then, or is it expensive?
If I have to put it in Indian rupees, it's about 26,700 Indian rupees, which would be about £267 a month. Mm-hmm. That's what we're priced at. For most people, for most above middle class individuals, it's not very expensive. Mm-hmm. The only idea is that Indians aren't very used to investing too much on their health. Mm-hmm. And that's something which is changing. Like in the past 2 or 3 years, that concept has greatly changed. People do want to invest a larger portion of their disposable income into health. And that's why I don't think that my product is very expensive, although it's not a mass product. Mm-hmm.
So who are you attracting then? Who sign up? Is it middle-class families or working professionals?
It's working professionals for sure. It's middle-class families with certain individuals who started giving a little something about their health. It's a lot of people who've plateaued on their weight loss journey for a while. It's a lot of people with medical conditions. And to be honest, we are also introducing a premium plan, like a platinum plan, which will be priced almost 4 or 5 times the amount, wherein the service gets very personalized. And this is especially for the elite and, of course, for the Bollywood industry.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned like pizzas and stuff like that. I mean, what about like eating plants? I mean, I would have thought that's quite healthy. Is that something you advocate?
So, absolutely. So every single dish is actually going to be balanced in a way where I always take care of the micronutrient aspects also. So it's never going to happen that I don't include plants or vegetables in the diet. They're always there. And you have to bear in mind, it's based on what the client likes. So if there is somebody who's a hardcore non-vegetarian, he tells me that I hate plants, I will make a concoction wherein I still give him the required amount of vegetables, but if he doesn't like a certain number of vegetables, I exclude them. So again, it's absolutely personalized. Every single dislike, every single allergy, every single intolerance is catered to.
Mm-hmm. In terms of alcohol, then, where does that fit into the plan?
Now, in an ideal situation, of course, alcohol wouldn't be permitted as part of the plan, but it's between the client and his personal nutritionist, how she actually moves his calories around, between them, how they move their calories around to actually permit him to have a little alcohol, maybe on the weekend, a couple of drinks. So it's completely based on how they're working their bit out.
Mm-hmm. So today I had a banana for breakfast and a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to probably have a cheese sandwich and probably have a chicken burger with chips or fries and a Coke. Is that healthy, you think?
Oh,
give me your advice, doctor.
It's not completely healthy.
No, okay.
But the only thing I'd suggest to you is maybe you need to up your protein, my friend. Mm-hmm. Because you gave me an example that you're going to be having a cheese sandwich, which is a lot of bread. You've had a banana for breakfast, which was a lot of carbohydrates again. So I think the main thing that a lot of people around the world lack is protein. Like, they underestimate the benefits of protein, and they, of course, tend to move towards carbohydrates. So for me, as a medical profession, I am completely against carbohydrates. I don't believe in carbohydrates because I think they do way more bad than good. Of course, this statement is challengeable, it's debatable. But in my opinion, I don't like carbohydrates that much. So I'd always start my day with eggs, maybe a small amount of fruit, maybe a large amount of vegetables. And then that's how I go through my day. I don't eat too much carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm. And what's the best food for protein then?
All of the meats that we consume, eggs, cottage cheese, these are good sources of protein. In fact, even nuts are a good source of protein. And of course, with people leading extremely busy lives, something like whey protein supplements also end up being good sources of protein.
Because how do you know how much protein that you need to have then?
It's a very simple calculation. So there is a range. Now, for example, if your body weight was about 100 kilos, on an average, you should be consuming at least 1.2 times your body weight in terms of protein, which means you should be having at least 120 grams of protein a day. Based on how active your lifestyle is, based on how intensely you work out, this value could go up. But any individual looking to stay fit, maintaining their weight and leading a healthy life should be consuming anywhere between 1.1 and 1.2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight.
Well, let's talk about obesity then.
Okay.
You know, how big is this problem in India then?
I think it's becoming a huge problem in India, because what's happening is that the working professional class has greatly, greatly increased. Nobody is working 9-to-5 jobs anymore. I mean, people work from 8 in the morning to about 10 in the night because everybody is so focused, so driven. They're sitting on desks doing the same job all day long, which means there is no activity at all. The second thing that's happening is that because they're always in a state of work, they're always pressurized, they always move towards junk, they always move towards processed foods, which also is leading to a lot of obesity. The third thing is that sitting in one place without any activity, you don't really realize how much food you're eating, which means that you're overeating all the time, creating something called leptin resistance, which means your body doesn't know when to stop. Now, these three factors combined is increasing the amount of obese people in India, and it's high time that people start doing something about it. But at the same time, there are a lot of movements going around trying to inculcate health into everyday lives, trying to tell people, trying to, I wouldn't say force people, but urge people to spend or invest a larger amount of time, effort, and money in their health. So, of course, it is a curable problem. I'm sure in the next 5 to 10 years, it's not going to be that large a problem. But as of now, yes, obesity is affecting the country.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, summer's around the corner then. Do you have any, like, tips for a fit? Yeah, give some practical tips for our listeners.
Yeah. So, of course, in summer's almost over. And in India, it's always the summer. Like, we've got maybe 20, 25 cold days. But of course, the monsoons have hit now. It started raining everywhere. But for the summer, make use of the heat. That's the best part. Because it's so hot outside, your body automatically is going to sweat more. You're going to lose more water, which means you need to take care of that. At the same time, maybe go out in the park and get yourself shredded at that time. Like, that's the common belief. You stack up on muscle during the winter and you shred, get beach ready during the summer. So, the greatest tip would be just focus on your calories. It's a given statement that 75% of your body is the diet and 25% is what you work out. You need to get your diet in order. You need to get your macros in order.
It seems to be a lot of pressure on people to lose weight, but some people don't actually need to lose weight.
You know, so what's happened is that losing weight, instead of becoming something that you do for being healthy, has become something that you do to look good for your aesthetics. And unfortunately, this cruel world plays a lot of importance on the way you are, on the way you look, and on your aesthetics. And that is something that starts affecting a lot of self-confidence, a lot of self-esteem. So, of course, body positivity is something I promote, but that should never, ever should never stop you from becoming a better version of yourself. So being healthy is primary. Being healthy opens the doors to being fit, to being confident, to having greater self-esteem, and for body positivity. So it's important. It's supremely important. I can say this from personal experience because I have gone through a lot of aesthetic changes in my life, which, pardon my French, did make me feel like shit. So I empathize with people because I've dealt with about, say, 15,000 people in the past 2 years. And something common that I realized between all of these people who weren't in the best shape of their life was that they're upset somewhere. Like, some part of their brain feels a little depressed, a little upset. And you have to address it and you move towards becoming better. So, yep, health is the key to having more self-confidence. And mark my words, I didn't say being fit or having six-pack abs is the way to self-esteem and self-confidence. Health is the way to self-esteem and self-confidence.
Yeah, it's probably down to social media like Instagram and Facebook, you know, people seeing images of, you know, Bollywood stars, like you say.
The Bollywood stars have made things so unrealistic because, of course, I deal with Bollywood stars day in and day out. That's my job. And I do know the kind of perils, the kind of pains that these people actually suffer to get into that kind of shape. The kind of substances that are put inside their body, they're not always natural. So people have a skewed sense of what a body should actually look like, because what the Bollywood actors, what a health model, what fitness models actually propagate is not real. It's just Instagrammable.
Yeah, true. So you've been doing this for 2 years. How's it impacted on your life?
You know, I think I've become a much, much, much better person. That's just respect to my emotions, because I understand people much better. I understand the pain that people go through when it comes to losing weight. I've become much more empathetic. And I don't think I can ever comment on anybody's body anymore, because I understand what that person's feeling like. The second thing that happened is I have become so much better at managing people, understanding what they actually want, and then, of course, in a funny way, leveraging it to get what you want them to do. And the third thing is understanding how business works. So I come from a family of doctors. I come from a family of professionals, which means I had no prior business experience. But doing this for the past 2 years, I now know the ins and outs of actually running a startup.
Mm-hmm. So give us some tips on hiring then, from your experience of doing this for 2 years.
In fact, it's funny that you brought it up because I've struggled with hiring for so long. Because the thing is that initially when you started something of your own, you don't trust people to do your job for you. It becomes difficult to delegate, and that's why it becomes difficult to hire. But what I've learned is that the moment you have the capacity to hire, you should hire fast, because you rather train these people than spend all your time doing it and then training them. So you want the people that you hire to enter the same growth curve, the same learning curve as you. Of course, with you having a much more clear perspective on it, but you need to hire fast. Don't wait to hire ever. It's going to make a lot of burden come on you, and you don't want to be doing day-to-day activities when your actual mission should be ideating and conceptualizing how the company needs to move forward.
What advice would you give to other first-time founders?
Okay. For all first-time founders, don't rush into it. I mean, I know there are a lot of ideas that can come to your head. I know you can be impulsive, but you shouldn't ever rush into it. You need to get your market research done. You need to get your feasibility check. You need to be in a position where you can actually envision your product working, and you need to be confident about that. Of course, there will be risks and there will be uncertainty, but primarily you have to find if there is a problem, are you directly solving that problem or are you indirectly solving that problem? If you're indirectly solving that problem, then my friend, you need to sort of restructure your model, because indirect problem solving is not, if there is a direct problem that you're solving, jump right into it. It's going to work.
Jump right in. Excellent advice there. And going back to the diet then, what happens after the diet then? Do you still give people advice?
Or absolutely.
Just sort of let them get on with it?
No. That can't work, because in fact, if I just let people go, they'll actually badmouth me. I went on this diet and I put all the weight back on. So how the entire plan works is that you get onto a diet, you wean off the diet also with us, you maintain your weight for a short amount of time with us, and then no matter what, my nutritionists are always going to be available to you even after the diet. So whatever it is, you can still ask her, because my job is to make you lose weight in the most optimized time period as possible, but my job is also to make sure that you never come back to me. Of course, this goes against philosophies of business, that you want to retain clients and you want to return clients. But of course, as a dietitian, as a nutritionist, I want to make sure that these people can keep their weight off.
Mm-hmm. So during the diet, are we supposed to be doing like the fitness side of things as well? Is that something you
Absolutely.
Would recommend?
Yeah, exactly. So I have got my panel of trainers. So there is a personalized fitness regime that also goes out with each diet. We've tied up with various gym facilities that actually help them do what I tell them to do. And of course, the plan moving forward is that I have my team of trainers that I actually deploy with all of these individuals. So you can actually opt for the diet and for the trainer, and the trainer will follow exactly what the company stands for there.
Awesome stuff. What do your friends and family think of this?
Initially, my family wasn't as supportive, because of course, I had finished medicine. I was on my way to becoming a surgeon. My dad's a surgeon. My granddad's a surgeon. And suddenly, I sort of land up into a hospitality business. So my father and my grandfather didn't understand this. They thought that, what is he doing with his life? Is he even going to succeed? But now what they get to hear is that he's succeeding. Because there have been so many instances when my grandparents or my father is in a hospital and somebody actually comes and asks them that, are you Siddhant's father? And that's when my dad realized that even though he's not practicing as a doctor, he's actually doing the same thing. Because in essence, I'm trying to cure obesity, diabetes, PCOD, thyroid issues. So I am still practicing as a doctor, just not in the conventional setting. So as of now, they're very, very supportive. Mm-hmm.
Last few questions then.
Yep.
What's your example of food heaven then?
My example of food heaven? Okay. I'm good. It's a bit of a downer, but because I've been so closely involved with food for the past 2 years, I don't like food that much. I mean, no matter what I eat, I don't always get the satisfaction that, yes, I've killed it with this meal. But I think the one thing that has never failed disappoint me is butter chicken. Mm-hmm. Butter chicken is my food heaven.
Good stuff. And what's your exact idea of food hell?
I don't think something like food hell exists, although we as fitness professionals will always propagate that eat healthy. But if you were to put a bunch of fries and a tray of bacon in front of me, I'm going to gobble that down. So food hell is a term that I wouldn't want to use. It's just about having a couple of days of food hell in maybe months of food heaven. I think that's what I would do.
Can you answer the $64 million question? Is coffee good for you? Reading good things and bad things about coffee. What's your view on it?
Okay. I think I'm a very functional, practical individual. I don't think coffee is going to kill you. I don't think coffee is going to shorten your life expectancy. But if at all, they came up with research saying that drinking 10 cups of coffee is going to reduce one day of your life, I'd still drink those 10 cups of coffee. So apart from the addiction potential of caffeine, I really don't think there's much wrong with coffee. If you're drinking it within physiological limits, of course, if you're overdoing the coffee, of course, your arteries are going to get tighter day by day and you are going to develop some risk of cardiovascular disease. But in moderation, coffee's not bad at all.
Moderation, that's all right then. And you mentioned the business. You're in three cities, 250 people. Yep. What's going to be the next milestone for you then?
I think the next milestone for me is going to be in five cities. And the second milestone after that is going to be 10 cities. I think by the end of 2019, I'm going to be in the fourth city, which is Bengaluru or Bangalore. And then we see how it goes. So to be honest, my company is still bootstrapped. I haven't raised investment at all. The plan is to get my valuation maybe 2.5-3 times as bad as it is right now. So that's probably going to land up with me being in 10 cities. And then I raise investment to actually take it pan-India and maybe even across the world.
You must have a lot of information on the particular, on the different types of cities and what they're eating then. Because obviously someone from Mumbai might be eating something different from Hyderabad. I don't know.
Absolutely. So in a regional country like India, with so many different cuisines, every single city has likes and dislikes. And of course, as a company, we have to cater to that. Hmm. So that's also another challenge of starting operations in a different city, because every single dish has to be tweaked according to the regional palates there. Hmm. So even something like a pizza do have certain nuances that people prefer a pizza in Hyderabad and people prefer a pizza in Bombay. So, of course, these are challenges of the business, and we keep overcoming them. Like, we've got an entire team which works on innovation. So, yep, it is an overcomable challenge.
Yeah, it seems a big market, and you're doing really well.
Thank you.
Anything that was worrying? Anything that keeps you awake at night?
I think I'm awake 24 hours a day. Okay. That's the problem with being an entrepreneur, and especially an entrepreneur in a startup, because you can't ever leave work in the office and come back home. There's always something on your mind. You're always preoccupied. And if I have to very honestly speak, it does end up affecting my personal relationship, because no matter where I am, I'm constantly thinking about work. Mm. But I think it's just a phase. I'm sure once we reach a certain place, it will get easier, although I'm saying I think it'll get easier. I really don't think it's ever going to get easier. Hmm. But I love doing this. I mean, being preoccupied is not that big of a call than feeling happy about succeeding and helping people. Hmm. So, yeah, I'm pretty much thinking about work all the time. Like, in fact, even while I'm having this conversation, I'm still thinking about what's happening somewhere else.
Good stuff. You mentioned the issues then. Who's helping you then?
So, I have three other partners that I work with. It's a four-partner company. Each of us has taken up certain roles in the company. And the best part about this is that we're really, really tight. Like, we're friends first and partners second. All three of them come with their share of expertise. And I think the team with the four of us will really do well. So what ends up happening is that my weakness is my partner's strength. And that's what we play to then.
Okay. And can you recommend any books or blogs to our listeners?
Very, very honestly, I know this is going to sound pretty stupid. I do have difficulty reading, mm-hmm. which means I don't end up reading books or blogs. What ends up happening is that I listen to a lot of audiobooks, if at all, but I do have a tough time reading. I feel like the letters float around me. So I've never been much of an avid reader. So, of course, this question I couldn't have much to contribute about.
No problem. And you mentioned the stats before. Was there any particular turning point then where you thought that actually this is going to work?
Yeah, so it was about 6 months into us starting about a year and a half ago when one of the celebrities that was on our plan actually ended up featuring, a company actually did a feature video around that person's diet. So now this particular celebrity was extremely overweight and the entire video was focused on how he transformed himself from being extremely overweight to being fit. And that's where we got plugged in. And that was that marketing spike, which of course, the rest is history then. Like we actually doubled up our numbers in a span of a week. And from there, we just capitalized on that fame and kept moving forward.
Who was that?
It was an individual called Tanmay Bhatt. He is a stand-up comedian, huge celebrity in India. Uh-huh. And it was his help that actually helped us move quite a bit. Uh-huh.
Great. Was it quite a sort of dramatic weight loss then?
Yep, it was dramatic. In fact, if you Google it, you'd see that he's literally lost an entire individual. Wow. That's how much the weight loss was. Yeah.
Wow. So how does that make you feel then? That you know you've pretty much saving people's lives. You must have an impact on people's lives.
It makes me feel great. I mean, that's why I can get up every single day and do the same thing because I know, of course, the business is doing well, but I'm still adding value to society, and that's what keeps you going. Because at one point, money does feel worthless because you're not really doing that much good. But with the kind of work that I'm doing, I think I'm helping people every single day. And I'm helping people in it at multiple levels. It's not just about the way they look. It's about the way they feel. It's about the way they interact. So I'm extremely happy and positive about the work I'm doing. And I don't think I'd ever want to move out of this genre of work.
Excellent. Okay, last question then. For people who want more information on you and Food Darzi, what must they do?
You can Google us, you can Instagram us, you can get onto our website. It's called fooddarzi.com, which is fooddarzi.com. Instagram is food.darzi. And of course, my personal Instagram handle is at Dr. Siddhant Bhargav. You can always, whatever queries you have, it's a fun page. Just come and give it a follow.
Excellent. So, actually, last question then, in terms of digital marketing, what kind of strategies are you using? What's worked and what hasn't worked?
Okay. So the only thing that works in my business is digital marketing and word of mouth. Word of mouth, obviously, because when you see somebody losing weight, you ask them where you've been and then they get referred to us. But the digital space has been extremely large. A very large amount of our turnover actually goes into spending on digital. It's platforms like Twitter, Quora, Facebook, Instagram, Google. It's creating a lot of content. It's creating a lot of video content, a lot of podcasts, a lot of videos, a lot of hero content. So it requires a large amount of money. And then, of course, the distribution of this content. So you need to put your brain in. We've got a performance marketer on board. So he puts his brain in, tagging the correct people, following the correct trends. So it's a full-time job. I mean, you can't just be putting out content randomly, expecting it to go viral. The content needs to be strategic. The content needs to be very correctly designed, and it has to be shown to the right people. So yeah, digital marketing is extreme. Like the entire thing we've taken in-house so that we can focus on it a lot more. But yes, digital marketing is the way to go.
Actually, why not sort of go into businesses then and give them sort of plans for their staff?
That's what we do. So okay. Now, that, of course, becomes the B2B aspect of our marketing campaigns. So a lot of these corporate houses, they've got thousands and thousands of employees in them. So that's what we're trying to do. The challenge is that it's a little difficult because they've got a lot of legalities to complete. Right. But yes, of course, that is the way to move forward. Like we've got a couple of corporates under our belt, but the plan should be that every single corporate in India should be eating from us.
Okay, Siddhant. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Neil. It was a pleasure. It was great talking to you. And thank you so much for having me.
I'm off to have a banana now.
Yeah.
See you later. Cheers, man.
All right.
Cheers, bud.
Cheers, man.
Thanks to Siddhant for coming on the show today. Check out fooddarzi.com. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. I shall be back next week. And if you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet at IndianStartupMSH. Or go to facebook.com/IndianShow. Thank you and goodbye.